Jovsky, CM Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Just minutes ago, actually, not picked up yet quite in the mainstream news. I guess some protesters interrupted that Trump play in New York City. I told you about this a few days ago. There's a Julius Caesar adaptation of Trump's presidency, or the other way around, actually. You know, this Trump's presidency is being used in the Julius Caesar play. And at the end of it, I don't want to give anything away, but Caesar gets the axe. And this guy, I mean, I'm looking at the pictures of it. It's Trump. I mean, the whole thing is about Trump, and they're making fun of Melania Trump's accent in it, and that she's a hooker and all this stuff. Disgusting, vile crap. And everybody in the audience, of course, yucking it up. They're loving it, loving it. And protesters get up there, shut it down very briefly, and got arrested. It's interesting. They're yelling, the cry there is, they're yelling at the crowd. You guys are a Nazi crowd. This is what the Nazis did. You know, I don't know. It's a crazy mess. All right. 800-222-5222. 800-222-5222. Sam at samnation.com is the email. What it is a normalization of political violence. It would never have been acceptable in any way, shape, or form if this had been done about Barack Obama. Can you imagine, take everything, just sit down, clear your mind, and picture what would happen if a play like this were run about Obama and Michelle Obama were being criticized for some of her inherent traits. It'd be the end of the world. There'd be a full-scale meltdown. I'm not saying, look, that would be inappropriate. But making fun of Melania Trump's accent, you idiots! This is maybe the part of it that is most offensive to me. You people on the left, you and I think American Express even. I wonder, American Express is sponsoring this. Who else? Time Warner, a few others. Well, Delta dropped out. I told you that. But do you understand that you leftists, you crazy people that think that this is okay, you people in the audience that are buying tickets to this nonsense and are yucking it up? How many languages do you speak? Think about that. My dad speaks five languages. He speaks with an accent. You want to make fun of his accent? You are the biggest bunch of dumb A-money monies that ever walked the earth. And your stupidity, honestly, your stupidity is marked by what you're making fun of. So, you know, this is just and it would never be, the hypocrisy of this runs so deep. This would never be acceptable if you could fill in the blank Democrat. Never. Not, no way, no how, not possible. So in all of this going on, where were you this time 2 years ago? June 16th, 2015. 2 years ago. Trump, he was in New York, and he's riding down that golden escalator in Trump Tower, ready to make an announcement. And the announcement, there's whisperings, he's going to run for president. He's actually going to do it. And if you'll remember in the previous cycles, 4 years before, 8 years before, there was always noise that the Trumpster was going to do something. He was making moves. He was thinking about it. And every time he did it, he sucked up all the air in the room. He did. I mean, I remember this. It would be on cable news and he'd be talking. And it was the talk of the town. Is he serious? Is he not? And the conventional wisdom back then was always, no, he's not serious. He's doing this to get ratings for The Apprentice. And he's doing this to pump up his brand. And he's getting free airtime. And he's just, that's who he is. And get over it. And what has become increasingly clear is, you know, people are talking that are familiar with his decision making is he was seriously testing the waters. As a strategic person, and yes, I actually believe Trump is a strategic person, in spite of the caricature that is painted every day in every major newspaper and on every left-wing TV channel. Trump was testing the water. He was figuring out what his odds were. He's floating his little balloon, which is very common for politicians to do, or prospective candidates. He's floating a little weather balloon and seeing how it flutters in the wind. He's also seeing what other major candidates are going to come in, who's going to have the money behind them, et cetera, et cetera. And running to unseat Barack Obama, for example, he decided was not the best move. He wanted to strike with the greatest chance of success. And so the stars align. This is a little bit of history. 2 years ago, stars align. He comes down the escalator. And it was at this precise moment when he began speaking and delivering his remarks that consternation and agonizing began from all the people that know best about politics, that are the wise men and women in the room who want to tell us exactly how things are because they know. Trump had in his hip pocket when he went down that escalator, he had prepared remarks. I don't know if you know this, because the greatest criticism of Trump coming down that escalator and getting up there and doing his conference was that he ad-libbed it. You can't do that, came the cacophony of ridiculous commentary that followed. You can't do that. You can't do that. This is not how politicians do it. This is not how you do an announcement when you're running for something as serious as the presidency of the United States. You heard it. I'm bringing all this up. I'll tell you where I'm going with it, just so you know. All of this is relevant still today. 2 years later, the same nonsense criticisms are being levied at him after he wiped 16 Republicans off the map and totally destroyed, you know who, Hillary Clinton. So I'm a little confused right now, and I want to go back to understanding where all this came from. Trump had in his pocket prepared remarks. He had them written down. He had ready-to-be-read remarks. And some people are telling me, and I remember this at the time, was told me, look, somewhere down that ride on the escalator, he decided that he just could not give prepared remarks. In his gut, you know that gut that's always criticized? You read it in Time. Saw a piece today. Can he be tamed? This is in Time.com. And the whole article is about Trump's gut and how it gets him into trouble. Nonsense. In his gut, he had a stirring, and the stirring was, I cannot just go down here and be another politician. I can't come down and give prepared remarks. I have to talk from my heart. I have to be different. I have to appear in front of the American people who are all tuned in because he hyped the event. Everybody was excited about it. And I have to do something different. And I'm going to tell you something. As a consumer of all things political, as a student of this great democracy of ours, as a disciple of all things American, I will tell you I saw that press conference and was immediately drawn to it. It was excellent. He didn't use any big words. He didn't read from a teleprompter. He didn't read from, you know, wasn't the usual BS. He just kind of said, we got a problem. And by the way, the words that he used when he spoke from, let's say, spoke from his heart, spoke off the top of his head, spoke as a real human to real humans, I find it absurd. As an attorney, I find it absurd that the, you know, Ninth Circus Court of Appeals is still parsing through that speech and putting clips of that speech into their reasoning of why the travel ban should be shut down. And what I find even more absurd is political pundits getting up and telling me this. Sam, listen. Trump's doing great, but he just needs to stop tweeting. You gotta stop the tweeting. Sam, you gotta talk to him. You gotta talk your boy down. His tweeting is ruining everything. Because according to them, when I press them on this, I said, all right, now let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back. Today it's 2 years. Let's go back to the announcement. What would have happened if he had used remarks that were scripted, that had been run through and poll tested, not to offend anyone, had been approved by the fancy lawyers, the white shoe law firms that dot Madison, I don't know what avenue up in New York and all the Tony Shushin business districts of Washington, D.C. You know what kind of a speech that would have been? Totally freaking unremarkable. It wouldn't have cut through anything. It wouldn't have captured anyone's attention. And Trump would have ended his candidacy right then and there. I mean, weeks later, it would have been the end. Might have sputtered along for a little bit. If he was a scripted candidate, if he was the candidate that you want him to be. And I'm convinced that these people giving Trump advice, they're out to destruct him. This is nothing more than do people ever give you crappy advice? The answer is, of course, yes. People give you bad advice all the time. I know this for sure. So would I take advice from my enemies? I get bad advice from people who wish me well. Now think about the kind of advice you get from people. I mean, you think Time Magazine over here? Can he be tamed? You think they're looking out for the Trumpster? Yeah, my foot. So this entire conversation about tweeting, this entire narrative about Trump being off the rails and unhinged and everything, I've never seen anyone in my lifetime with this kind of political acumen. Not a politician. He's not somebody who had a career in politics. He's a total outsider. I'm not using it as a campaign slogan. I'm just saying he really is an outsider in this world that he's now found himself in. And everybody's complaining that he's doing it wrong. This is equivalent of the horse and buggy industry saying to Mr. Benz, who made the first mass production automobile, and saying, Herr Benz, you are an idiot. What are you doing? What is this? It needs a horse. And him going, oh, you know what, guys? You're right. Shoot, I didn't think of that. I think I need to attach a horse to my car. Look, the world is full of revolutionaries. And this country, incidentally, might I add, has always been an incubator of this type of thing. And I'm mystified by this avalanche of very mediocre conventional thinking that is being, what's the word? It's festering. It's being bandied about, and it's all a bunch of self-preservationists. The people that think that they know best, the congressmen, the senators, the staffers, especially the ones, the leakers, right there, you get these leaks. Oh, the White House is coming apart at the seams. They can't contain the president. He's erratic. Okay, you know what that is? That's the a-hole that is in the back room that his idea got shot down because he's a freaking idiot. And so he's in the back room. He's going, I'm going to show them. Washington Post, hello, hello. It's Bobby Q over in, you know, where. I have a tip for you. That's what's going on. Disgruntled morons. The reporters, you know, whose world is turned upside down, and all of these DC insiders, there is a playbook. The playbook involves them. They are the experts. Trump ought to be going to the experts. He's not. And so the whole thing is upside down. For them, but not for him. Mark my words, we're going to come back. Today's June 16th. 2017, we're going to come back to the show at some point, and I'm going to replay my words today. Trump is not going down. You are deluded if you think that. It might be conventional thinking. It might be what's popular on TV. It might be what's cool. what makes you sound compassionate and normal, quote unquote. But it's not. It's not the reality. And the play in New York and all this vitriol that is coming from the left is only doing damage to you guys. To you on the left. You guys are going off the deep end. You are crazy. And you are alienating all that is decent and good and praiseworthy about this country. This is a nation where we can disagree, but we don't act and talk and be this way. Not cool. Obstruction of justice. Total nonsense. I'll talk about that when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790. KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation. The entire case here against Trump, because now Trump's tweeted, and the world is in an uproar, and Trump has confirmed that he's under investigation for obstructing justice, and the hand-wringing in Washington, D.C. and across all the TV cable news shows is incredible. Lindsey Graham today said, where was this? He says, you may be, I think this was on CNN. He was talking with Out Front on CNN. Doesn't matter. But he's talking about Trump. He says Trump may be the first president in history to go down because he can't stop inappropriately talking about an investigation. That if he were just quiet, he'd get cleared. Nonsense. Here is the obstruction case. It's plain and simple. And I'm a lawyer. I'll tell you exactly what it is. In the law, when it comes to criminal law, this is different from constitutional interpretation. You know, but when you're dealing with constitutional law, you've got the Constitution, and then you have an evolved body of cases that have gone before the Supreme Court and decisions that form the basis of law. That it's a little more complicated. In criminal cases, yes, you also have cases that have gone to the Supreme Court and appellate courts and the like, but you're dealing with a statute, a codified statute, which means the legislature, in this case Congress, when it comes to federal obstruction of justice, wrote down what it means. And conveniently enough for you idiotic liberals, they wrote it in English. So I don't know what this buffoon here on MSNBC yesterday, Jason Johnson, political analyst and resident moron, had this to say about Trump tweeting about obstruction of justice.
There needs to be someone in the White House like the BBC mom who just like leaps at him whenever he's going to go for his phone, because I actually think he makes this case he makes it worse every single time he speaks. You look at the criminal code for obstruction of justice. It says endeavor. That's really broad. If you're tweeting every day that this investigation is garbage, that the people are bad, you are endeavoring to at least stymie or at least freeze or concern people about the investigation.
It says endeavor. Hey, genius. Might I recommend that you don't even have to go into a law library anymore. It used to be. I understand. It used to be kind of difficult. You'd have to get the book. And the U.S. Code, well, it's the U.S. Code. It's federal law. So there's a lot of pages in the books. And I understand you'd have to go down to a local library and go pull it out and get it. And that could be a little time consuming. But Jason, there's this thing called the internet, bro. And the internet has the law. And let me read it to you. This is really important. 18 U.S. Code 1510, obstruction of criminal investigations. Whoever willfully endeavors. Oh, there's the word that Jason found. Bravo, you genius. Whoever willfully endeavors by means of bribery to obstruct, delay, or prevent, etc., etc. Whoever willfully endeavors by means of bribery. That prepositional phrase, I know you guys are too busy making fun of Melania Trump's accent. Never mind that she speaks four languages. But you need to get back to the basics of understanding what a prepositional phrase is. You're an idiot. You are actually an idiot. And so for all this hubbub that is running around about obstruction and Trump obstructed, Trump would have had to have gone to Comey and said, "Yo, Comey, I'm your homie. Here's 200K if you make this thing go away." Better example. "Hey, you like golf? I got these clubs. Yeah, I got Mar-a-Lago. You like Mar-a-Lago? Great golf down in Florida. Huge. Membership's like 200K. You know, we'll just take care of that. And now I'm going to ask you the million-dollar question. Don't you think, and yes, it's a leading question, don't you think that if something like that happened that met to the letter of the code, the letter of the law, that type of scenario, would Comey not have mentioned it in two sworn testimonies that he gave before Congress? Answer, of course he would. But he didn't, because there is no there. I'll get more into this when we come back after the news. John Wolf is up next. Don't go anywhere.
Talk Radio. Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Live from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain, the resistance to the resistance. Think about that. That's a riddle wrapped in a, what is it? Enigma? Okay. Let me tell you what the situation right now is going on, the ground game, so to speak, with this special prosecutor deal. Bob Mueller. I'll back up a little bit. So you remember Jeff Sessions had to recuse himself. Now, he's the acting. He is the attorney general and was already confirmed, I believe, at the time. So he's in. Now we've got this investigation going on into Russiagate. He was there. He's the subject of the investigation. For whatever nothingness is involved, he's part of the investigation. So he recuses himself. According to the rules, his number two in command, his second in command, his deputy, a guy named Rod Rosenstein, who also happened to be the author of that memorandum that was used to justify Comey's firing. Do you remember that? So Rod Rosenstein becomes the lead man on all things related to Trump collusion, Russia collusion, whatever you want to call it. So Rosenstein's off to the race, and this explains, incidentally, the tweet that Trump sent today, which, again, we're talking about Trump's tweeting. I'm telling you why I love it. I'm telling you why you shouldn't be worried if you love Trump, and why you should be extremely worried if you don't. Don't believe conventional thinking. His tweet, let me pull it out here. I want to make sure I read it exactly right, because it was good. I read it, and I was like, zing! Okay, this is it right here. "I am being investigated for firing the FBI director by the man who told me to fire the FBI director." Witch hunt. So good. Okay, he's talking about Rosenstein. That's who he's talking about. Rosenstein wrote the memo. Then Rosenstein now is heading the investigation, because that's how it works. Technically, Rosenstein's the head of the investigation. The special prosecutor works independently. If you could watch me right now and see how animated and upset I am, you would see my air quotes flying through the air. He is an independent, you know, entity, but still reports to and his services can be both limited or completely dispensed with, as in he could be fired by the attorney general who's supervising him, which in this case is Rosenstein. I know that's a lot of info, but basically Rosenstein's the important guy. Now, because the investigation, Mueller might have just shot himself in the left foot. Now that we know, I'll finish that thought, that Mueller is investigating Trump for obstruction of justice related to Comey's firing, who becomes part of that investigation? You think maybe it's the guy that wrote the memo giving Trump, laying out the case, so to speak, for Comey's firing? If the guy suggesting the reasons for Comey's ouster that in a obstruction case are pretextual, are mere excuses, right, or just justifications, he becomes part of the case. Rosenstein has to be brought in. Hey, you know, what was the circumstances of this? Did Trump say, hey, whatever you need to do, I got to get rid of this Comey guy. He's hot on my money. I got to, you know, make up some stuff. Just put it on paper. You know, do it. Okay, now he's a witness. He's got to recuse himself. And he's privately telling people that he's going to do it. Now, what I want to do is tell you who's going to come in and take Rosenstein's place if that happens. Why? It's good news for Trump. It's bad news for Trump haters. And I also want to explain how Trump communicating directly with the people doesn't hurt his case. It just doesn't. It might hurt his chances if he were being tried by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. They don't follow any law. They just make stuff up out of the ether. But this obstruction case is not going anywhere fast. And actually, by being broadened to include obstruction and a case being targeted at Trump, might end up being, in my opinion, it's just law. I'm thinking strategically, it actually could end up being a great thing. All right. Talk to you soon. Back after this.
Talk Radio. Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
In other news today, I don't know if you heard this, but a very serious collision out on the high seas. The USS Fitzgerald was T-boned by a giant freighter, which only proves that you really can get T-boned just about anywhere. It doesn't matter if you're on a boat or a ship or a car or one of those evil gas-guzzling SUVs that is burning a hole in the ozone the size of Australia, and you get T-boned or rear-ended or in an accident of any type because somebody else has done something stupid, you need to have the right lawyer who's going to help you get through it because you don't want to deal with that other person's nonsense. Put their nonsense on ice and call James Bergner. Sweet James, the man himself, the champion of you. And if you give him a call, he'll help you, guide you through it, make sure that you know your rights and that you're protected, top to bottom. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021 is his phone number, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rogowski back behind the Sam Nation microphone. And we are fighting for sanity, folks. I'm telling you this, I'm a reasonable person. And today, I tell you, I'm just at this point where my reasonableness is being tested by these insane crazies on the left who are so blinded. That's what this really is. They are so blinded by Trump rage that they're not looking at anything in any way, shape, or form that would be I don't know, logical. So who is, I was explaining a little bit here about Rosenstein. Rod Rosenstein, he's the number two at the Justice Department. Now that the probe has been expanded to include Trump's obstruction of justice, the left, by the way, is celebrating. They're ecstatic. Trump is, yes, the Washington Post dropped it on his birthday. No accident that they did it the same day as the Alexandria shooting to draw attention about the fact that a Bernie bro with a hit list in his pocket went out there and shot at Republicans. No accident. So the Washington Post, being the douchebags that they are, dropped the story that night, which also happened to be Trump's birthday, that Trump spent in the hospital visiting the wounded, injured parties. So that little present from the Post, everybody rejoiced. This is great. But now it's leading to a real problem, and that is that Rosenstein has to recuse himself, or may have to recuse himself, probably will, in my opinion, because he's the author of the memo that gave Trump grounds, gave the president grounds to oust Comey, to can him. And it becomes material to the charge of obstruction of justice. Which, of course, I told you earlier is total nonsense. I read the code, and I tell you why nobody is going to the code, because the code is so obviously not nobody wants to read the law, because the law, nothing out there that is being said publicly, that is being said even, you know, off the record, let alone in sworn testimony, gets near to establishing a case for obstruction of justice. So if Rosenstein recuses himself, who comes in? And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a woman. Her name is Rachel Brand. Fairly young. Been on the job only a month. You know what I like about her? She's actually a member of the Federalist Society. Now, this is a group of attorneys. Now, producer Robbie's in there pumping his fist. Did you know that? So she, Federalist Society is a group of attorneys. Judges are in it, too. And it's really for people who want to serve conservative Republican administrations. They're big on civil rights, on libertarian views. I'll put it that way. And they tend to get placed in Republican administrations more so than Democratic ones, although it does happen as well. But do you know what I love about Ms. Brand? This Rosenstein guy, this dummy that gave us this whole investigation to begin with, you know how much the swamp monsters loved him in the Senate? 94-6 they voted to confirm him. They were so far up his you-know-what, they were just practically begging him to take the job. 94-6 in the Senate, that's like Barack Obama time. What do you think Brand got? Rachel Brand, 52-46. The Dems hated her. This is good. This is good. All right. Don't go anywhere. Back after this.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Sam Rudzovsky, back. And rarely wrong, always right. I'm reminding you of this. Now, what is all this now? Where does Trump find himself? What is he supposed to do? Because I think this all comes down to the advice that the president is being given by everyone from Time Magazine to senators on Capitol Hill, Republicans and Democrats, pundits up and down, all saying, stop tweeting. You need to be talking about your agenda. You need to be staying on message. And what I'm my point here is, what you need to know is that Trump never, staying on message means script. Script has never been Donald Trump. He owes his entire success. He owes his presidency to his ability to connect with people. Now, I'm not the world's greatest Twitter expert, but I get it. Twitter is a different medium than anything else. Short, pithy, funny, tongue-in-cheek. That's what it is. And you have to read Trump's stuff in that light. Now, I went and I printed. People are saying he's just talking about his nonsense. He's just talking about the investigation. You know, shut up already. Yeah, you get to the issues. I went through and I highlighted. I took 5 pages, most recent Twitter tweets, as of about 5 minutes, 10 minutes before the show started. And I went through it and I highlighted the ones that are on policy. And there's a bunch that are on policy. And sprinkled in between are, you know, despite the phony witch hunt going on in America, the economic jobs and numbers are great. Now, see, that's arguably policy. Regulations way down, jobs and enthusiasm way up. It's talking about after 7 months of investigations, committee hearings. Okay, these are the kind of tweets to get picked up. I noticed something in Trump's tweeting, and I'm going to share this with you because I haven't heard this said anywhere. How many people really followed Barack Obama's Twitter? I mean, it was boring as crap. Oh, there's nothing on there. It was blah, 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 scripted, BS, BS. Yeah, it's the excitement that Trump's Twitter is unscripted. You also know Obama's Twitter has been written by him, but by his lawyers, okay? That's the reality. And his minders. So what Trump does is he takes agenda items of his, policy, we'll call them policy items, but, you know, but really, you know, things material to his presidency, and then sprinkles in there exciting tweets. This is genius. You guys, wake up and stop making, don't make Trump out to be such a buffoon that you're not able to see that he is doing an end run around you. It's pure genius. Now, speaking of Twitter, David Plouffe, the guy who ran Obama's 2008 campaign, successful 2008 campaign. Here's a tweet that he sent out on the 13th of June. I want you to read this here. It's not enough to simply beat Trump. He must be destroyed thoroughly. His kind must not rise again. This right here is the single most telling perspective on what the Democrats are thinking. They don't want Trump. They don't want an outsider. Even Republicans agree with this tweet. They don't want a change agent like Trump, and they will do anything to destroy him. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday, 7 p.m.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.